So we're talking about freedom, Christ freedom. I very much appreciated Pastor Corey last week. It was great to be able to hear some of that. Really, really good. In fact, we will pick up. She was in Romans 13. We'll go to Romans 14. The very next verse where she ended is where we're going to pick up. So it'll be, we didn't work it out. We didn't talk to one another at all. In fact, her sermon was kind of like Saturday, God hits her. And she's like, okay, Lord. And sometimes it works that way, but we will pick up from there. So we'll talk about decisions we have to make and convictions. Jesus, just to remind you, 2 weeks ago, Jesus came to set the captives free. He did not come to put more chains on people, even though religion can. I hope I'm not shocking you when I tell you that. Church can, religious folks can. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free, or some versions are, you will be free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. There should be freedom. Jesus, following Jesus should feel like, oh my goodness, my chains were set free, not like, oh God, what am I have to do now? I can't do this, I gotta do this. No. When Jesus' Spirit enters you and He lives within you, He makes you a new creation, you're born again, there's freedom. That's who our Christ is. So again, by way of review, we ask the question, what is my part in my freedom? I have to hear and wrestle with the word. And the reason I said that, and this is important, that was a major part of what we talked about, is that for a lot of us, and we've been trained by our culture this way, if I hear something I don't like, immediately I turn that person, I'm not going to listen to that preacher, I'm not going to go to that church anymore, I'm not going to listen to my friend anymore. When it comes to, I'm going to go find somebody who will tell me that that word doesn't mean that, that verse doesn't mean that. Dude, if you have somebody who always agrees with you, they're unnecessary. You should be challenged sometimes. I'm still challenged by the word. I'm challenged by the preachers I listen to. You got to hear the word. You got to wrestle with the word. And you have to put it in practice in your life if you want to be free. Jesus said, if you continue in my teaching, in other words, put it into practice in your life, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is known by practice, as you put it into practice in your life. Head knowledge alone won't do it. Mental assent won't do it. You have to put it into practice in your life. So let me ask you the question, and I promise I'll answer at the end today, but who's right? When it comes to, let's just talk about the church stuff. I know we're not really churchy folks, but you are in Roanoke, Virginia. We're still kind of Bible Beltish. Who's right? The people who are dressed really well because we're coming into the house of God, or the guy in jeans and a t-shirt, or the woman in shorts and flip-flops in the Church of Jesus Christ. Who's right? The guy who's reading the King James Yoda speak? Be strong in the Lord? Yeah. That or the one who's reading an ESV or some other, one of them modern versions. Who's right? The people who are singing hymns, and they don't have screens, they're singing out of the hymn book like Jesus did, and the Apostle Paul and Peter. I'm making a little fun. I can't help it. It's part of who I am. Or the people who are up there singing from a screen. Pastor ain't even holding a Bible. What in the world? Well, it burns my hands. No, it doesn't. People who, that would be just so wrong. People who maybe go out occasionally and have a drink, or people who abstain completely. Who's right? And who would never let, I've never let that devil's juice pass my lips. Who's right? By the way, if you have problems with alcohol, definitely don't drink. But who's right here? Because there are some who think that I'm right. We'll talk about that. We'll get there. But how about this? Not everything is in the Scriptures. And before you kind of bow up and, oh no, everything you need to know about life. All right, tell me this. I'm trying to decide. Do I rent an apartment? Do I rent a house or do I buy a house? Can you show me where I find that in the Scriptures? There may be principles I apply, but I don't know where to find that one. Do I lease a car? Do I buy a car? Do I walk? Jesus was in an Accord. The disciples were in an Accord. Do I go Honda? What do I do? Like, how do I? Oh, man, I got all sorts of dad jokes. How do I do this? What do I do? Not everything, even in terms of our practice of the faith, is in the Scriptures. And I'm going to show you this before you blow up. Don't put the wall up. Don't do that. You guys aren't super like Bible Belt religious. I know that, but don't put the wall up. Stay with me. I think most of you are going to be able to do that. There are two paths to immaturity when it comes to freedom in Christ. Two paths to immaturity and to losing your freedom. Let me show you the first one. Because I know this because I've been here. I was here two paths. Conviction, adoption. So I hear a pastor say, I always get up early, and I think you should get up early to study the scriptures, because that's, Jesus was up early. He was praying alone all the time. So you need to get up early. Don't read at night. You read first thing in the morning. Conviction, adoption. I won't go to a restaurant that serves alcohol. Conviction. So you hear a pastor, you hear a people or a church, and that's what they talk about. Christians must this, they shouldn't that. And you just adopt it. You don't check the scriptures. You don't kind of pray it through. You don't wrestle with it. You just adopt it. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do. That must be right then. Well, that's now what I believe. I didn't wrestle with it. I didn't see. Maybe I've got freedom to do something different. I've lost my freedom. And I didn't, because I didn't wrestle with it, I short-circuited what God wanted to do in my life. And it's a path to immaturity. And then the second one, and it follows the first one, is legalism. I now have these convictions, and I'm going to export them onto others. And so if getting up at 6 in the morning, every morning, 7 days a week, because Jesus didn't take a day off. He was on the cross. He didn't take a day off that day. So I get up at 6 in the morning, and I always read at least two chapters of the Bible and pray for at least 30 minutes. And if you don't, you're not as spiritual as I am. Aren't those people fun to be around, by the way? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're just a blast at parties. Yeah. Exporting my convictions, placing them on others as a measure of their faithfulness or their maturity in the faith. And when they do it to me, they're stealing my freedom. When I do it to them, I'm stealing their freedom. Anybody here got a little religion PTSD as we talk about that? I'm starting to get like a little tick. Yeah. And you can apply it to the KJV only, or dressing up, or dressing down in contemporary music as a measure of closeness to Jesus. Either one, because it comes from both sides. Either one. Let me remind you of who we are. This is a core value we developed 18 years ago. I think it was this month or next month, because I remember the sermon series. And we talked about what are going to be our core values. And we as a church, a small church, agreed. One of our core values is freedom. And we said back then, I almost feel like I need to reinterpret it now, but we said freedom is the ability to be who God made you to be. So you got different interests, different passions, different gifts. The freedom, the ability to be who God made you to be, to make your own decisions in areas the scriptures don't specifically address. Now, honestly, you make your own decisions in any area, but in terms of following Jesus, make your own decisions. Well, do I dress up or not? Do I name the thing? Do I listen to music that's not Christian? Or do I only listen to Christian music? Which one do I go with? We saw this play out because this is a core value. It's a hill upon which we die. Let me go that. I want to go that extra step. We saw it play out when COVID hit. And you had a choice. You don't have to wear a mask in here. You don't have to make a reservation to come here. And I'm not putting anyone else down. I'm saying that's how we dealt with it, because that was something we'd already established. You're not ready to come? Don't come, man. We respect that. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. You want to sit way over there while you're... No problem. God gave us a big old building with an amazing filtration system with scrubbers in the AC and a high ceiling. You're probably better off here than you are at Walmart. But we opened up even before others were, because we believe you have the ability to make the choice of whether you're going to come or not. I can't turn to the scriptures and say, you must wear a mask here, you must be triple vaxxed. I don't have that. You have your own decision to make, right? That was how it played out. Areas the Bible doesn't specifically address. Because otherwise, I could say, everybody, if you care about your neighbor, you're going to wear a double mask. I've just made you adopt my convictions and told you it's a measure of your spirituality, and that makes me a Pharisee. And I would be wrong. Conviction, adoption, and legalism short-circuit what God wants to do in our lives, steals our freedom, and steals the freedom of others. And so continuing from Pastor Corey last week, because she did Romans 13, I'm going to read her part. I'm going to take a quick jaunt over to Colossians 2, and then we're coming back to Romans 14. All right, stay with me. I just want to remind you, here's what Pastor Corey, the section that she was in. It is already the hour for you to, what's that word? Oh, yeah, she said it well. Wake up! It's already the hour for you to wake up from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk in decency. or with decency as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And so you would naturally think that the very next section, the very next chapter, the very next verse would be, do this, don't do this. Rule, 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 rule. It's not. The very next verse goes into freedom and the freedom you have in Christ. It's amazing to me. So we're going to get there, but I need to set it up so that we understand at least a little bit about freedom. Colossians chapter 2 is where I'm going. So stay with me, and then we're going to come back. He, Jesus, made you alive with him and forgave us all our sins. All our sins. All our forgave us all in advance. Before you're even born, his death on the cross paid for everything you've ever done or would do that would be against his will for you, that would mar the image of God in you. Paid for it on the cross. Things you hadn't invented yet, it's already paid for if you're in Christ. It doesn't give you freedom to sin. It gives you a reason to want to love him and serve him. That's how you know whether or not you're saved. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations. He's talking about the Old Testament law. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Take Old Testament law, picture it nailed to the cross. Because he fulfilled the law, he said it is finished, it is done, and paid for it. He has disarmed the rulers and authorities. We're talking spiritually now. Took away everything they had, all their accusation, all of it, and disgraced them publicly. We're talking in the spiritual realm. He triumphed over them in him, in his body, in his sacrifice. Therefore, so here's what he says after all of that. Here's his conclusion. Here's where he's leading towards. Jesus did all this on the cross for you. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you regarding food or drink. Is it kosher? Is it pork? Is it shellfish? Is it, or in a matter of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day? This is all Old Testament law. Do you see the shift? I mean, I just picture the first time a Jew read that from Paul, it's just mind-blowing. This dude is an absolute heretic. He is, if it's not true. Jesus abrogated, took away, fulfilled the law. When he said, it is finished, it's completed, it's done, nothing more can be added to it. His sacrifice pays for it all. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in these things. This is law, and then it's also superstition. It's both. When it comes to food and drink, they believe that some of the meat had been sacrificed, and it had, to idols in a demonic worship service, and then it had been, or sacrificed, and then been sold in the market. And they had believed that if you eat that meat, you might take demons into you. And yet this says, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink. Well, that wine may not be kosher, and it may, don't let anybody judge you in regard to food and drink, Sabbath, new moon, festival. Don't let anyone judge you. Did you catch that? It doesn't say they're not going to. Somebody's always going to try to judge you for something, right? You know this. You're in America 2022. Man, you could have a picture on Facebook and say, it's just so I don't offend anybody, this is a post, and it's a picture of an actual fence post. Somebody going to argue. That's not really a post. Back in my day, a real post was, you're going to have somebody, right? By the way, block those folks. It just make your life happier. Love them from a distance. So, judge. The word for judge, don't let anybody judge you, is to condemn. And it literally means to separate good from evil and then to make a judgment based upon what they're doing and say, this is evil. In this context, it has to do with condemning. To condemn based upon your judgment or their judgment that your actions are evil. You're wearing sandals in the house of God. You need to know Jesus. You need to be sanctified. That's judging. Don't let anyone judge you. Why? Well, we are to judge. Hang on. I know that our favorite verse is America 2022. Judge not. Hold on. We are to judge. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, we're supposed to judge one another with the idea of helping walk in the faith. So we're supposed to speak the truth in love. I can't speak the truth unless I realize there's some error and I say, hey, man, can I walk alongside you and help you with this? If they won't let me, I can't press. I can't make it. But I am supposed to discern and look and try to help. We're supposed to do that. I'm just not supposed to judge in the place of God. Judge in order to help. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. Just supposed to be teach. Teach, correct, rebuke, encourage. We read that in Timothy 2 weeks ago. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you. Why? Remember, it was on the cusp of what Christ had just done on the cross. Because these things are neutral. Now, they've been paid for. Ooh, note the shift. That was law for Jews. It was law for Gentiles who converted over. These things are now neutral because Jesus satisfied the Old Testament law. And if you have problems with that, go to Galatians 3, read it today, and then get in touch with me. And set us free from the culture of legalistic mandates concerning neutral issues. You're free. You got your own decisions to make in a whole lot of areas. Now, you don't have your own decisions to make of whether or not you steal. That's always going to be sin. You can do it, but it's sin. You don't have your own issues, your own judgments to make in a whole lot of other things, but that the scripture is specific about, but there's a whole lot of area. You get to make your own choice. Hey, what Bible version are you going to read? You get to make your own choice. Make an informed one. I got you. Let's go a little further in 2, because then we need to get to Romans 14. Those things, the law, all that stuff, was a shadow of what was to come. Christ is here. You don't need the shadow anymore. The reality is here. Yeah. Separated, kosher, food and drink points to a totally pure Christ. Old Testament law with the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath, according to Hebrews 4. Those things are satisfied in Him. He is the substance. You don't need the shadow no more. All right? Let no one condemn you, goes a little further, by delighting in ascetic practices. Now, he's going to go from there, but the idea is, let's do it in our way. I get up every morning at 6 in the morning, and I study 2 chapters of the Bible, and I pray for 30 minutes. And if you really love Jesus, you would do that too. You know, I sleep in because I trust God, but good on you. Way to go, man. But I trust God, so I'm going to go and sleep in. I'll just read at night because that's when I'm most awake. Don't anybody condemn you by, oh, look at me, look at all that I forego, look at all that. Nah, not at all. That stuff's nonsense. That is comparative righteousness. Let me compare myself to you, and it is prideful unrighteousness. Anytime you see somebody comparing their righteousness to yours, know that you need to pray for them because they got a pride issue. Jesus wants you free. And so from 2 weeks ago, he said this, according to Jesus, the truth of his word is fully understood and effective only in the context of application to our lives. Now, that's true with the things that are very clear, but it's also true in convictional areas. You got to wrestle with them before you apply them. Don't just adopt my convictions. If I say I don't this and I do that, don't adopt my convictions. You got to wrestle with these things. They're neutral. What I do may not be the same as what you do in some of these things. And so let's go back. Pastor Corey said, wake up, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And here's the very next verse. Welcome anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. And disputed literally means opinions. So some verses will even translate it, some versions will even translate it that way. Opinions, neutral, convictional, gray areas. Welcome anybody. They may be different than you. And they are weak in faith. You know what weak in faith is? That's not an alcoholic. That's somebody who struggles. Weak in faith is somebody who has not been taught well. They don't know the truth. So they think it's just plain wrong. Welcome them, but don't argue with them. They don't know the truth yet. They have not been brought into the fullness that is Christ. Weak in the faith is Brian Robinson, a number of years ago, many years ago, believing the King James was the only Bible. Anybody who read anything different was reading a perverted version. That's where I come from. When I met my wife, I took her to, before we had gotten married, I took her to, I think it was called Zondervan, some Christian bookstore, up at Tanglewood Mall, and I bought her a new King James, because at least it's got King James in the title, because I wanted to make sure she had a good Bible. I didn't want to read any of that NIV nonsense, that perverted. She Pharisee right here. One person, let's go a little further, believes he may eat anything. Well, the one who is weak eats only vegetables. By the way, great verse just to use, rip out of context and use against vegetarians right there. You know, you must be weak, you're only eating vegetables. No, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I've been vegetarian, I could easily be vegetarian again. Don't do that. Yeah, they believed that because you're eating that meat, either you're breaking the law, or more likely, the people Paul's talking about, believe that, man, you could be getting demons into your body because it was offered in a demonic sacrifice. So you believe you can eat anything. You're eating like steak and pork. And they're only eating vegetables because they want to make sure that they don't pollute their bodies, right? One who eats must not look down on one who does not eat. So the freedom person, I got freedom, I can do it all, I can have a beer, I can have a steak, must not look down on one who does not eat. And the idea of look down on is to look at with contempt, to despise, to say, man, you ain't much of a Christian. No, they're acting on the info they have. You don't get to see them as less than. And, now watch this, one who does not eat must not judge. There's that same word again. One who does because God has accepted him. So the guy who's only eating vegetables, doing his best to make sure he doesn't take any demons into his body, the one who refuses to drink because he just doesn't want that devil's juice to pass through his... That one, because you never hear this, the weaker brother, not supposed to judge the freedom brother. Not supposed to say, this is good, this is evil, you're doing evil. Why? Because God has accepted him. So the temptation for the one who partakes, the one who says, I got freedom, is to see the one who doesn't as less spiritual, as less free. The one who avoids, who doesn't have that freedom, their temptation is to judge the partaker as sinful and, I always love this word, worldly. I don't even know what that means. I hear it all the time. I don't know what that means. But the onus here is on the one who avoids. Why? Because he says God has accepted the partaker. Why? Because they had a problem with legalists even back then. Even back then they had problems with, you know, if you do that and he sees you, you could walk into a movie theater and maybe you're seeing a G-rated movie, which by the way, that's all you can see because you're a Christian, but they show an R's. They may not know which one you're seeing and they're tempted and they go see an R-rated movie. You caused a brother to sin. I know all the arguments because I come from this. And here's what he's saying. God has accepted the partaker. He's prayed it through. It's between him and God. You don't get to make that judgment. You don't get to steal their freedom. They had problems with the legalists back then and those who were wrongly taught. That's the weaker brother. And sometimes they're the same. The moment I adopt convictions as universal biblical truth, neutral areas, and export those convictions and place them upon others, I become the judge over people based on neutral issues. I've just put myself in the place of God. And I am a terrible God, and so are you. Who are you to judge another's household servant? Before his own Lord he stands or falls. Now we're talking, referring back to the one who judged, who avoided, the one who didn't have the freedom. Who are you to judge another's household servant? The onus at this point is on the person who doesn't have freedom, judging all the people who do. The legalist. And he will stand because the Lord is able to make him stand. How can you do that? You're going to stand before the Lord one day and you were drinking wine. Dude. Jesus, Cana, John chapter 2, water into, would you like to buy a vowel? Yeah, one person judges one day to be more important than another. Someone else judges every day to be the same. Oh, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. There's where you get the idea of conviction, fully convinced, fully persuaded. I just think, man, I need to have a Sabbath. Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, I'm taking a Sabbath, no buying, no selling, no working. That's fine. I believe every day is the same and I can work on any day. I'm just going to spend time with my church family because I think that's what I'm called to do in the scriptures, but that's fine too. So whether it's I must keep a Sabbath or I don't need a Sabbath, both are correct if you've prayed it through and you're following convictions. Both people are right. Even though they're completely opposite on the issue. If they're following the convictions, they've prayed and they've wrestled through it. So convictions relate to matters of freedom and are intended by God to be areas of wrestling, of applying principles, of living out what God desires for me, not for them. If you dress up and you think you really want to give God your best by dressing up, if that really means something to you. Now, theologically, I'm not even going to get there. Let me do it this way. This building, it's a nice building. I love this building. I do. I thank God for it because it's a gift from Him. It's not the church. Never was. And you know that. We're the church. We're the people of God. We're the church. It's a building. Dress up, don't dress. But if you dress up and you really just convicted that God wants you to, good on you. Nothing wrong with it. Somebody else is in flip-flops. Doesn't mean they're casual towards God. They could have a heart that loves Jesus, or maybe it's like the rest of us seeking Him out. Yeah. So when I have convictions in these areas and I've wrestled with them, that's for me, not for everyone else. I don't get to export them and place them upon you. Let's go further. One person judges one day to be more important than another. Someone else judges everyone the same. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So God is more interested in why you do, listen, what you do. Listen, in convictional areas, God is more interested in why you do what you do than He is in what you do, in neutral areas. And I'm going to show you right here. Whoever observes the day observes it to honor the Lord. All right, whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. Whoever does not eat the meat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat it, and he gives thanks to God. So the process of wrestling through these convictional matters, wrestling with the principles from the Scriptures, and seeking God for your own conviction produces maturity. And what God wants is this: are you seeking to honor me? I won't shop on a Sunday. Nothing wrong with it. More room for me? No, that's wrong. But yeah, nothing wrong with it. Well, Sunday's the best day for me to shop. Okay, nothing wrong with it. Do you honor God in all you do? That's the issue. It's not the do I or do I not in convictional or neutral areas. It is do I honor God in all that I do, right? That's it. That's what matters. And so adopting others' convictions produces immaturity. Exporting them robs them of freedom. Allowing people to export their convictions and place them on you robs you of freedom. And again, Jesus wants you what? Free. Absolutely. Yeah. For none of us lives for himself, none of us dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. I belong to this part. You guys are family. Ultimately, I belong to the Lord. As a church, we're a church of freedom. Somebody walks in the door and they're full of legalism like I was. Like I was. All alcohol is wrong. All non-Christian music, especially that rock beat. Got to read the King James only. I had a million of these. Million of them. If I'm going to eat at a restaurant, I'm only getting water because it's the only thing that doesn't look like alcohol. Apparently, I'd never heard of gin and vodka. But, I'm going to make sure that, because I don't want to cause anybody to stop. I had a million of them, and I put them on others. Somebody had to welcome me in and start teaching me. For me, it was Pastor Nate. He's now our missionary. We support this guy. Faithful guy. So, man, they're welcome. We want to teach them truth. They stay weaker if they're untaught. But if they continue to place those upon others, and they're unwilling, and they start tearing us apart, that's a door, man. I bet there's a great church for you somewhere down the road. God bless you. We are a church of freedom, and we will be. We have to be. Christ died. He returned to life for this, that he alone might be Lord over both the dead and the living. But why are you to judge your brother, or why do you judge your brother or sister in neutral issues? He's talking about somebody who restricts liberty, who avoids meat, who keeps the Sabbath. Who are you to restrict their freedom? So judging as worldly and sinful on convictional issues places me on Christ's throne. He'll judge on those issues. And only Jesus belongs there. Why do you despise, look down upon, this is the freedom person now, your brother or sister? We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So now he's talking to the freedom guy. So despising someone, looking down on someone as less than spiritual and less free, ignores it. Jesus alone will judge everyone. And dude, I got my own baggage because I'm part of that everyone. I'm busy looking down on you because you don't this and you. I got my own stuff to deal with, right? For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue will give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of David Deering, to God. No. Each one will give an account of Dolores to God. No. Each one will give account of himself to God. I got my own stuff to deal with, and so do you, especially in neutral areas. In areas of biblical command, speak the truth in love. Absolutely. Hey, man, you're married, and I'm catching you flirting with that waitress all the time, that server all the time. We need to talk. You call yourself by the name of Jesus, man. You don't do that. That's a danger sign. See, I'll talk to somebody about that. That's very different from, why are you wearing a suit in here? What's wrong with you? Very different, right? In areas of truth, yes. Dude, you got totally lit last night. Let's talk about what's going on in your life. Versus, can't believe you had a beer. In areas of conviction and freedom, you want to be an encourager regardless. And in all things, truth or conviction, you give grace. Doesn't Jesus give you grace? That's what you give. You give grace even as you're speaking truth. Therefore, we're getting down to the end of it. Stay with me. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Now we're talking to the abstainer. Let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister, in either direction. For I know I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Why did he say that? Because a weaker brother is somebody who is untaught. And love means that you care enough to teach him the truth. Hey, you think that stuff is unclean? You think that meat, because it was offered to idols, is unclean? It's nothing. It's just meat. Just so you know. So he loves them enough. You don't leave a weaker brother weaker if you're able to speak into his or her life. That's not love. You set them free. Thank God. Thank God for Pastor Nate and a church who love me in the midst of my legalism. Thank God. So when it comes to meat, wine, dressed out for church, and a million other things, Paul refuses to leave weaker brothers and sisters weaker. And again, weak just simply means untaught or wrongly taught, or they adopted someone else's convictions. Now, it's not weak to abstain. Like, if you pray through it and you say, you know what, I just don't think alcohol is for me, it's not weak. If you've prayed and you've wrestled through and you say, that's not good, nothing wrong with that. If you come from addiction, you don't have freedom, right? If that's your addiction, you don't have that freedom. So there are times you say, yeah, no, that's fine. And that's maturity. But if you don't, just simply because some pastor told you that if you do, you're going to hell, that's a problem. Wrestle with it. Wrestle with it. It has weakened the faith to believe that you don't have freedom in convictional areas. That's why churches have to teach freedom, just as Paul does here. I'm convinced that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, to someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one it is unclean. Wait, what? Yes. If they think it's wrong and they do it, it is wrong for them because it didn't come from faith. In fact, I think, yeah, whoever doubts stands condemned if he eats because his eating is not from faith and everything is not from faith is sin. And so even while I'm teaching truth, I don't try to get somebody to do something that they think is wrong. That's where I cross the line. Oh, dude, just take a drink. Oh, dude, just have this. Oh, just... No, take the time, pray through, wrestle with it. You may come to a different conclusion. I do not tempt people to do what they do not have faith to do, but I teach truth. That's what we're supposed to do. I can tempt somebody to do something that isn't sin, but it is for them. That's why I have to be careful. So to be free, to the taught, he says this, to tempt someone into doing something they believe is wrong or wrong for them is to place Satan in their life, to be a tempter. I don't get to do that. To the untaught, to the legalist, he says this, to rob someone of the freedom Christ died to give them is to despise the cross itself. And that's heavy. To walk in freedom is to wrestle with my freedoms and to honor Christ in all that I do because that's what he cares about. It's not whether you do or you don't. That is situational and based upon what God is, or individual based upon what God has done in your heart, in your life. But the issue is whether I eat or I don't eat, whether I dress up, I don't dress up, whether I listen to this music, that music, whether, name the issue. Can I honor Christ in what I'm doing? And by the way, if I'm taking your freedom, I'm not honoring Christ. If I'm judging you for having freedom, I'm not honoring Christ. If I'm looking down on you because you've chosen not to have that freedom, I'm not honoring Christ. Our world talks a lot about tolerance. This is Christian tolerance. You have freedom. And even in the areas where you sin, I just want to come alongside and help you. Honestly, we're all stumbling forward towards Jesus. Only He is good. So what is my part and my freedom? Let's put it all together. I'm going to have to hear the word, and that means all of it, even things that I disagree with, I'm going to have to wrestle with, not just find somebody to tell me something different. I have to discover the freedom and put it into practice, and I've got to honor God and allow for freedom in others, even if it's not my freedom. We will not be a clone-making church, and aren't you glad? Because I've met me. We don't want to be a clone-making church. Yeah, you can amen that all you want. I'm with you. So who's right? The one who's dressed well, the one who's casual. KJV only, the modern version person. We're going to sing hymns out of a hymn book, red-backed, because that's the only good hymn book. We're going to sing it on a screen. We're going to have a big old pulpit here. Pastor's just going to walk around like a crazy man. What's right? Well, both are right. Both are. If they have sought God, prayed through it, and believe that they're doing what He wants them to do. If they've wrestled with the principles that apply and have sought God, and they're not looking down or judging others who do it differently. In this valley this morning, right now, in fact, they're probably letting out because I'm dumb and talk too long, but those people who probably have to get out right at 12 because that's when God stops speaking, right now, they've just spent some time in pews, suits and ties, dresses. They sang out of a hymnal. Pastor had a big old pulpit and probably held on to it. And he probably used some King James-ish words. Christ thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself nothing. Okay. You know what? They love Jesus. They're brothers and sisters. There's probably some church out there that has smoke on a stage. Right? Pastor in spandex. I don't know why he'd do that. But if they preach the Bible, they're brothers and sisters. Man, the kingdom is so much bigger than you and I think it is. And we're going to love them and accept them. If the theology's wonky, we may have some problems. Maybe that wouldn't be where I would be. But if they know Jesus, they love Jesus, brothers and sisters, right? So here's where I need to go. Quickly, very quickly, any questions, comments, disagreements before we pray? And we got to do this kind of quickly.